Welcome, friends, to the Enduring Gifts of Marvin Gaye podcast, brought to you by your 26-year listening veteran, Jessica. Join me as we celebrate these enduring gifts, the songs of Marvin Gaye. In each episode, I will share insights about the music and recount life experiences tied to it. I'm hoping to inspire you to take a first or your 500th first listen to these songs that are truly the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye.
Welcome to the episode that will focus on Distant Lover from the live 1974 concert that Marvin Gaye performed at the Oakland Coliseum in California. I had just listened to like the first minute and 20 seconds of the song. For some reason, I had paused it right at that point, because I do believe that it takes about that long of a little vocal speaking introduction that Marvin does to the song before he then sings the first two words, Distant Lover. And that audience explodes. And so that reaction right there, that experience of just the audience reaction after Marvin Gaye sings two words, changed my life. I mean, it changed everything. It started everything for me. The very first time that I ever heard the song Distant Lover, I was hearing this live concert version of it. And the very first time that I heard it was within 1 month of deciding to learn who Marvin Gaye was as a performer. And so many things, right? The first month, the first time I ever hear the song, I'm hearing an unbelievable crowd reaction to two words that he sings. It was letting me know immediately off of the bat, right? All of that is right off of the bat. 1 month is right off of the bat. Right off of the bat ever hearing the song, period. Right off of the bat that he sings two words of the song, the crowd loses their minds. It was just all of this amazing right off of the bat, high zenith, top of the mountain, you know, just level experience of who and what the experience of Marvin Gaye was all about. And that's the amazing thing in his own lifetime. In the beginning of this concert, the way that he is introduced onto the stage at the very, very beginning of this concert is by a man that is saying that Marvin Gaye is a man who has become a legend in his own time. And this was only in 1974 of Marvin Gaye's whole life, right? He's alive for 10 more years after that. Monumental albums come out after that. But by 1974, he had reached a legend in his own time status. So, and that crowd's reaction to two words, Distant Lover, it's just, it's unbelievable, dude. It breaks my mind, you know? It broke my mind the very first time I ever heard the song to understand right off of the bat the degree to which Marvin Gaye is the real deal, dude. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, this is real. This was real shit right here, okay? This wasn't a joke to a person that was in that stadium that heard him sing Distant Lover. Literally just Distant Lover, okay? Those two words. That crowd lost its mind. Tonight, I got into Jan Gaye's autobiography, and lo and behold, she has a chapter dedicated to this concert. And she was explaining, she just dropped one little statistic that it was an audience of 15,000. And at some point in Ebony magazine, I read that when Marvin went on his nationwide tour, you know, shortly after this standalone concert, that he was selling out, like, in minutes, 40,000 plus seat stadiums across the country. So it was legit. This was real deal stuff dealing with Marvin Gaye. Period. You know, just like all the time in his career. Let's look at it again. 1974, right? Like, that's kind of smack in the middle of his career. It's just a little bit further than smack in the middle, but it's a really good spot in the middle of his career. He's been a teenage heartthrob from the 60s. He's had What's Going On, and now he's had Let's Get It On too, and legend in his own time by that point. And that is totally accurate, right? That's all the Tammy Terrell material. That's I Heard It Through the Grapevine. That's What's Going On, and that's Let's Get It On. Yeah, that's legend in your own time. That's you, and what you wouldn't even need anything else in your career beyond that to be legend in your own time. But there, how much more was to come? You know what I mean? So, yeah, this concert performance of just only that song is a prime just breakdown of what the entire experience of Marvin Gaye is, because it's real time, the world reacting to him, right? Like, that immediate reaction after speaking two words is so intense. By the time that I got to this stage in music consumption, right? So I was 14 at this point, and for a good while, the only two songs of the entire concert that I had access to were Distant Lover and Jan from the Marvin Gaye collection. It took me more than a year before I was able to acquire the entire concert on disc. And so, okay, let's just stick through up until 14, though, that I've got it, Marvin Gaye collection. You know, I was just thinking about, like, how down my parents were to allow us as the kids in the house to just really totally dictate what the house was filled up with as far as our music intake was. I've explained, you know, we had the stereo system. It didn't allow for headphones. We had these Bang and Boomin' speakers, so they filled up the house. They filled up the yard. But my parents really kicked back, and once we kind of got onto our own little musical tastes experiences, they really just allowed that we kind of hijacked the stereo, dude. And so our house was filled with New Kids on the Block, like, all the time. We were obsessed. We were little girls. We were a part of that movement, and we were constantly listening to that music. And my parents were, you know, they weren't like running away out of the house when the music was constantly being played, right? I think that they were pretty checked out on it. I don't think they weren't very engaged, but they really did allow that the music was playing all the time in the house. So the only thing that just changed a year or so later was that it was all Marvin Gaye. And it was just now constantly Marvin Gaye. It, like, completely stopped on my part being New Kids on the Block. I think perhaps, possibly a little bit, my little sister still listened to it. My little sister is absolutely adorable, and especially at that time, 9 years younger than me, right? So let me put that into perspective. By the time that I'm leaving the house to go to college, so I'm 18, I've graduated from high school, I'm going to college, my sister is just going into third grade. I mean, it's a massive age difference between us. So she was just so little, like, the whole time that I lived in the house with her, right? Like, she was just from newborn baby, and I left her at third grade. That's when I stopped living in the house. But like an example of just like how adorable my little sister is and how like on her music game that my little sister has always been. This is the most adorable little story I can tell of my little sister as far as music goes. I love this. This touched my life when this happened because I was just like, who in the world is my little sister, dude? She is every single thing. So this one time, her and her mom had just the two of them one time gone up to North Dakota to do a visit to the family up there. Me and my dad had stayed home. And so they were gone for like a week or more or whatever. And it was always a road trip. It was always a road trip experience back and forth to North Dakota. And like it was a day long experience, right? So they were back now. It was the first few days or whatever that they were back in the house. And it was like, okay, that's cool. So, you know, my little sister had her own little room. She had her own little stereo system in there, you know, like we're a musical family, right? So I had my little stereo system. She had her little stereo system. But my little sister was little, right? She wasn't even in third grade. Well, she was probably in about first grade. My sister was little. I'm trying to think. Yeah, she was probably about six. This is like the most hilarious and just like, yes, for my little six-year-old sister, dude. Oh my God. So they had come back from North Dakota, right? And so they're just kind of settling back in and everything. And, you know, they come in with suitcases and stuff. So for whatever reason, you know what I'm saying? Like my little sister was just in her room by herself, just doing her little thing in her little room, right? And like I was out in the living room somehow. It was a weekend day. So because it was like during the day, everybody was in the house. But we were just kind of off doing our own things, right? So like for whatever reason, I was in the living room area, like not engaged with my sister, whatever. She was just like off in her little room doing her little thing. Her door was open though, right? It's just like, what was she doing in her room or whatever, you know? And then all of a sudden, just filling up the house, because like her little speaker system was good. Just all like, I'm talking about filling up the house and just a groove started to take over the house. And I had never heard this song before. That is what is so hilarious about this. My sister put me on. And she was six, dude. Just all of a sudden, she was in her little room doing her little thing. And then just the next thing, she had just put on her little song to play. And it was, we can boogie down. And I was like, what the fuck is this song? I had never heard this song before. And that was her jam, dude. Like, she was just like, I guess on her trip to North Dakota, she got turned on to that song and she came back home and scolded me. Because I remember, like, that song was so jamming and so funky. I had to go into her room and just be like, who are you, dude? And, like, how in the world are you playing this? Is the first time I'm ever hearing this song? I'm a, like, teenager. You're six. Who in the world are you right now? And she was just in her room just chilling, but, like, that was just, she needed to hear that real quick. Oh my God, dude. Yeah, that's my little sister. So, I don't even really know what that has to do with Distant Lover Live. I gotta regain my thoughts and I'll get right back with you. Hold on. I had to stop and just think, like, what the heck? Because that was a tangent, but I had to give that up for my sister real quick because she turned me on to Let's Groove Tonight, Earth, Wind, and Fire by Hardcore. She just pumped that into the house, you know what I'm saying? I was just trying to explain the way that my parents allowed that our musical tastes took over the house. And one afternoon on a weekend, my sister needed us to all get educated on some earth, wind, and fires. That happened. But yeah, so by the time that, you know, I switched over to Marvin Gaye, it was pretty predominant in the house. And like I said, though, for the most part, too, hand in hand with that, like, I think kind of for their own sanity, my parents were pretty not engaged. They weren't really paying a whole lot of attention to what we were playing in the house. They were there, but at the exact same time, like, what I'm saying is, like, it's not like they would go out into the yard or something when we were playing the music. Like, they were there. They just kind of didn't really give an F what we were listening to. But one time that I was playing Distant Lover in the house, so now it was my turn, right? And just the next, like, we were quiet, no music was playing, and then boom, coming out of the speakers, it's Distant Lover live. And my stepmom and my sister were in their little ritual of, she had just gotten her hair washed and had to go through the very painstaking process of getting her little hair combed. Because my little sister is half white and half black, and she is, her hair, I have never, you know, I have a head of hair on me, but my sister's head of hair was as big a part of her as her whole entire little body, right? Like, her hair was as long as she was, and it was as big as, you know what I'm saying? Like, her hair was just, oh my goodness, dude. Right around the time that she was two, is when her hair had really gotten, you know, down her back and was really long. So she'd get her little hair washed, and that would be her one time that she just got to be totally free with her hair. And so she would take her little bath, and, you know, that's when her hair would just be able to be all down and wet. And so, of course, it's as long as it is, too. And so it's down her back. And right at that time, Little Mermaid had just come out, like, just come out, not like it was out on DVD or anything. Those didn't even exist. Like, the movie had just been in the theater, and then very shortly after, it was out on video cassette. So she had that and was watching it all the time. So she, every time that she got into the bathtub, she was Ariel. I mean, full, she was singing that, like, she was Ariel. Okay, don't get it twisted. That's who she was. Like, her bath time was for her to become Ariel. And she, you know, with her hair as long as it was like that too, but that also being the only time that, just due to her hair, that she could have it out and just flowing down her back like that, she would always just love that. When her little hair was wet like that, she'd be in the bathtub and she would, you know, she'd be like perched up like Ariel would just, you know, pop up out of the water and come up onto the rock and just be perched like that. And she would, you know, just put her little neck out and her little hair was all on her back and she'd just be shaking her little head. So her hair was just going all on her back. You know, my sister was having a very important, you know, hour or two with her hair when she got to do this, dude. So she was a Little Mermaid for a couple hours, you know. There was Ursula was involved, and, you know, it was just her little experience. So she really took her time in the bathtub for, like, she needed a good hour just to get her little Ariel in. And then, though, like, there was something about my little girl's hair, though, because she just became wild with it. So, you know, she would take an hour in the bathtub, you know, if she really needed it, too. And it would not be too much for her to be in there for 2 hours just doing her little aerial thing. And then when she would get out of the bathtub, she had this little ritual too. Like, she just needed a little bit of time to run around the house with the hair out, you know, because, and she would literally just be running up and down and shaking her hair, you know, just experiencing the experience of her crown of glory. So she would just run around the house for a little bit doing all of that. Then it would be time, finally, after, you know, a couple of hours with her hair like that. Now she needed to go ahead and get it combed out, though, and just so it was manageable. And that would take a good hour or so for her mom, too. So, you know, there was this one day as that was going on. Now it was into the hair combing time. And so that was a little ritual that they always had. And they were, you know, she was sitting on the floor and my stepmom had to be sitting on the floor behind her. And just, it took a very long time to comb my sister's hair. And just the kind of, it was very quiet. Nothing else was really going on. And so I put on Distant Lover. And this is what I'm saying, like why this was, this observation from my stepmom was so kind of poignant is because of up to this point, like her and my dad, as far as the music that we were pumping into the house, were pretty disengaged. They didn't really ever comment on anything. They just allowed it, but they didn't really care. You know what I mean? And so it was pretty quiet. They're sitting there doing the hair combing thing. I put on the music, and as soon as it got to the seconds where he says Distant Lover and the crowd reacts, my stepmom just kind of had to stop combing my sister's hair, and we just all kind of just sat there for a moment. We were in the concert, right? And then she just said to us, she was like, oh my gosh, she was like, would you just listen to how crazy those girls are going over him just singing that? And it was just like corroboration for me, right? It was like, wow, right? Like, that's right. Like, this is everything. This is an everything moment in time, right? Like, this is an everything real time moment in music history right here, right? Like, this, that happened. That level degree of reaction from a live audience, that happened like that. And it's excessively intense, right? Like, it's not just me. Like, it is accurate that I am able to process that that is, like, a very real deal. You're on a separate level when you're having your crowd reacting to you like that, right? And so for the fact that my stepmom just offered that, kind of like, I would say that might have been about one of the only observations that she kind of ever really offered up in the moment as some music that we were dictating was coming through the house. So it was just, I very much remember that. But another thing, like I was listening to this song literally just last night as I was trying to go to bed. It was like I was reliving some history. So let me actually, along with my stepmom and this song and going to bed and back in those days. So this was pre me having my own little portable CD player. So what I did have in my room, like I just said, my sister and I both had our own little stereo systems in our rooms. And, so I had a bookcase, you know, bookshelf that my stereo fit on one whole shelf. That's how wide it was and how deep it was, right? Because the speakers are, you know, were deep, and the shelf, the bookcase that I had it on was deep, but this was just how I'm writing, I'm repping. This is how long, this is how hardcore, this is how OG, this is how, you know, original gangster Marvin fan I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're on this level full, you're a fool for Marvin. You are a fool for Marvin. So every night, this is back in those days when my other sister, because my other sister is right in between me and this baby that I was just telling you. Educated me to Earth, Wind, and Fire. So I have a sister in between. And she's the one that points out to me about how I used to always have to listen to Marvin to go to sleep. So before I had a portable CD player to make that process like way more convenient, each night I would stretch the on the shelf stereo system from off of the shelf. And so I'm thinking there had to have been an extension cord involved in this process because this shit had to be plugged into the wall somehow in order to work, right? It was not portable, but I made it portable. Do you know what I'm saying? Like every night I would pull it off of the shelf as far as that cord could stretch and still be plugged into the outlet, right? Like it just made it to the edge of my bed. Right? So I would have this big ass stereo system in my bed with those Koss headphones that I was telling you about. And I would be And this was also a characteristic of the way I used to always listen to my Marvin in my ear like that, which did no good to my ears, but I can still hear just fine. But you know how the adults back in those days always say, you're going to make yourself go deaf. But so like on any device that I'd ever be listening to Marvin with my headphones, especially, I would always take the volume as loud as it would go. And so, but those were some very powerful speakers as well. So I would be listening to Marvin at highest decibel levels possible, going straight into my ear. Well, even though those were some very encompassing headphones over my ears, there was still a pretty, you know, audible experience for anybody that was surrounding me. You know, just the noise experience still, you know, went out into the environment. So there would be many a night that, you know, 11:30, closer to midnight, you know, my stepmom would just need to be walking into my room and letting me know that it was time to go to bed now, okay? Like, I needed to, several things needed to happen. I needed to turn that shit down. I needed to. I needed to go to bed because it was a school night and I had to go to work, you know, school the next morning. You need to go to bed now, okay? Like, the Marvin Gaye at some point in the day, it does have to come to an end. You know, like, we'd have to have those conversations pretty frequently. So, but yeah, it was, yeah, this song, the Distant Lover song, has just been an experience going on for a very long time. So last night I was kind of reliving some history, and I had my headphones in and the song playing, and was just trying to, you know, observe the song again, you know, anew, right as I was trying to go to bed last night. And this was the overpowering experience that I got, like the gist of the experience of the song that I got. The power of Marvin from start to finish in that song eclipses the 20 seconds that I pointed out as the must listen seconds of the Save the Children song that I shouted out, highlighted as the only 20 seconds of Marvin Gaye at a certain level that you and I could ever handle. And so, I don't know, is that a controversial statement that I make right there? Is that maybe almost an even turning off type of statement that I make right there? I want to clarify that. I'm going to end this episode with a good portion dedicated to that song. So I'm going to just let you know that. We'll get to it. But last night when I was listening to this song again, it was just, there was so much power, 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 power that was just being pow, 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 pow to me, that I realized that to address the Save the Children song and those 20 seconds that I call out, it's a level and it's a content, right? And that's the distinction of that 20 seconds. It's a level and content that is not an apples to apples comparison to any other part of Marvin's catalog, which is why I give it that distinction. But I think if there's possibly any element of turnoff that a fellow listener of this podcast could be experiencing from me making a classification like that of any one song of Marvin's, it could maybe put your nose a little bit out of joint to where you're like, you know, what is, I don't even appreciate somebody telling me that there's something of Marvin Gaye's that is a most of anything. And so trust me, for myself, I will actually say in all of these 26 years, as I have been doing this podcast, this is the first time ever in 26 years that I am putting an ever or most qualifier on any Marvin Gaye song ever, period. I never have taken the time to formulate what I thought would be designated as the most unique song of Marvin Gaye's career. I never in 26 years have categorized a song of Marvin Gaye's in that criteria. I never have criteriaized 20 seconds of Marvin Gaye's catalog that I say is the only 20 seconds that can be handled. I don't have a favorite Marvin Gaye song. I can't even do that for myself. I can't do that to myself. I can't do that for myself. And in that way, I can experience what being a parent must feel like, in that you maybe you have a feeling of a favorite, but you can't even articulate that. And you can't even, you know what I'm saying? You can't even really give an answer. Don't go there. You just can't even do that, right? And so I cannot do that for a Marvin Gaye song. I do not have a favorite Marvin Gaye song because I can't betray any other Marvin Gaye song that is maybe not another, it's not an apple to an apple, right? And so therefore it doesn't allow for a favorite. I just can't do it. Like, I can't even feel like I can blaspheme like that to designate one Marvin Gaye song above all others. I can't do it. I've had 26 years that I could have made up my mind by now. I can't do that. So I guess let's keep this fun. Let's keep it just a fluid. Let's keep it as something that we can circle back and change our minds. And I'm a woman, so I can do that whenever I want to. But yeah, so don't feel put off to where like you can't even, you know, tune in anymore because of a classification or a designation that I espouse in an episode about something. Because just trust and believe, like, those are coming from, you know, off the cuff, in the moment, on the spot, little light bulb flashes that are going off for me, that I'm throwing those things out there. But it's not something that I've been operating by for 26 years. So it's like where I strong, like I'm going to debate you about. No, I'm not a debater. I don't really give a fuck much about a lot to where like I need to beat anybody else down with my opinion on something. So, you know, feel free totally to have a 100% opposite opinion of those types of most, quotation, M-O-S-T, end quotation, most designations that I've thrown out to a couple of things in this podcast so far. And I probably, you know what, just based on that and just based on the possibility that that could be putting anybody off, I'll be very mindful of probably not needing to use those designations anymore. Because honestly, like I said, it is not a representation of my entire 26-year experience with Marvin. I really don't like to most anything of Marvin. You know what I'm saying? Because Marvin's catalog is so varied, and it is so well-rounded, and it is so segmented. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is so varied. Like, you can dive into a lot of different flavors. And who am I to tell you that Rocky Road is the best of the 31 flavor? Like, I can't, you know what I'm saying? So, because there's a lot of really, really, really good things that are, you know, available. And, you know, if it's not apples to apples, then nobody really has a right to be shoving down somebody else's throat an opinion about the most of anything. So I'll be very mindful of, you know, not even needing to feel like there has to be that type of a grab to something that I'm saying. You know, I'm not, just my personality is not that of somebody that has to, you know, shove my opinions down somebody else's. I don't really feel that strongly about much in life. So, you know, I'm pretty go with the flow about those types of differing views that there can be on things. So I don't know. There's definitely something about the 20 seconds of Save the Children that is a unique moment, a standalone moment, an unmatched moment in Marvin Gaye's catalog, okay? And I think that very importantly, what that designation is that ties to that 20 seconds is the content of what Marvin Gaye is speaking about in those 20 seconds. It's the cap off to a 4 minute and three long second song that he has delivered titled Save the Children. And so I don't care who you are. I put this in the show notes of that episode, but it's like, I don't care who you are. If you write a song entitled Save the Children, it's not going to be an option. That song is not going to be the most important song of your career. Okay, there's just something too holy about that type of a message that is going to prevent it from being anything less than the most important song of your career. That is completely what that song is, and that is completely what those 20 seconds within the most important song of Marvin Gaye's career are. They are a top-off to the most important song of his career, and they are a level and an experience in his musical career that we don't experience again with him like that, because we're not really experiencing another content-wise song like that again from him in that space and time, in that openness of, you know, the can of Marvin Gaye, you know, just I'm gonna put it on you, my origin created message of my musical gift and of my artistic vision. We don't have that moment from Marvin again. So there is its designation right there for that. But what listening to this song last night gave to me was just pow, 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 pow of power. You know, there is just every single second of delivery of this live performance from Marvin Gaye, that is his utmost power being delivered. And it's just strength in falsetto, dude. It is strength in the upper echelons of Marvin's octave ranges there. And he's hitting it with this strength that, woo, you know? Woo! Only a Marvin Gaye is coming at you live performance-wise, hitting you with the strength in the falsetto that he's coming at you with. And then you know that there must be a moment. Did he do it? Did he get down on his knees? Did he fall down onto his knees? Please! Right then when he did that hard, did he get down on his knees? I get an impression that, like, extra why the audience reacts as strongly as they do right there when he sings that so hard is that I think he must have given them a little bit of theatrics of being down on his knees with it right at that moment too. There is just, yes, there's a strength in his voice that is hitting you every single, that's what I'm saying, like every single note, every single word that is being delivered is on like an upper echelon level of his octave ranges there, that it's a 100% different conversation than the 20 seconds of Save the Children, but it is still about power. And so when I, you know, made any of the classifications and designations about Save the Children, in no way, shape, or form was I trying to put anybody's nose out of joint by saying that, you know, oh, this is it. There was nothing else that is worth your time of Marvin Gaye's catalog. Come on. You think that that's possible for me? You know that's not possible for me. So, you know, I seriously hope that that wasn't even a misconception that anybody had for any point of time. But that's what's just really interesting about Marvin's career is that it's so possible to have conversations about any of the different years, decades, albums, singles that are not apples to apples. It's just not an apples to apples conversation, often, just with his own material, let alone, like how I said, that I'm not here for a peer of his. So, you know, but just to look at and handle only Marvin Gaye's material, like, it's not an apples to apples conversation discussing two songs to each other. There's, you know, there's no comparisons. So there's strength that's coming in a different delivery. It's coming from a different place. It's coming for a different message. It's coming for a different reason from Marvin via the song Distant Lover and its content and its message compared to, and you, therefore you can't compare it to Save the Children. But yeah, so I stick to what I say about Save the Children, but it is in no way to eliminate or reduce or, you know, even compare or take away or touch on anything else of Marvin Gaye's career before, after, other songs on the album. You know what I'm saying? So I guess it's really important to get that thrown out there. And just like I said, I'll be really, really more mindful of, you know, there's no real need to put a most designation on Marvin Gaye's work. It's a fine, well-rounded, every single portion of it required body of work, right? So it's like, it's not the complete body of work without every single thing that makes it up. It's it is a sum of its parts. So yeah, though, Distant Lover Live, I've got to just give it, as you know how ridiculous and how far I like to take it with Marvin, I would be trying to throw it out there as like best live performance of all time. Could we go there? Why not? Who says we can't? Because you know why we can? Because again, when we get into classifications and designations like that, it breaks down to zhuzh, right? There's my zhuzh, there's your zhuzh, there's just zhuzh, and zhuzh is completely subjective. So, and there's, therefore, like, nobody can take your zhuzh away from you. So if we're in the zhuzh of Marvin Gaye, let's keep it in the zhuzh of Marvin Gaye. We can definitely, I think that I could say that the song Distant Lover, for me, let me just always put that clarifier on it, for me, it is Marvin Gaye's greatest live performance recorded, because that's like, I love that I can't speak to anything that I never heard, right? And I know that there's so many things that I never heard. So I love that I can't even get my hands on the things of Marvin Gaye that I never even heard. Oh my gosh, how much of that is there? Is there just as much of that as what we have? I think there is, you know? And I can't even tell you anything about all of that. But I know it's got to be, you know, it's probably even at levels that's what I'm saying. That's what I do say, though, when I get into Save the Children. It's like, I know that there is stuff of Marvin Gaye, like, we couldn't handle. I think, like, the stuff of Marvin Gaye that you and I and nobody else, except for maybe Janice, I know she expressed, and not Janice, you know, Anna probably had access to it, too, but, you know, just being in the house, oh my God, could you just imagine living with Marvin? Just the way, if I just said that time with my sister, right? She was off in her own little room. And just if all of a sudden the music starts to fill the house, but you have no idea what was coming next, but that was, it was coming from Marvin. And it was like something original Marvin just was making right then and there. And so maybe he didn't go any further with than just making it right then and there. Oh my gosh, right? So, and then I can't even tell you about that stuff right there. But I think I can probably safely tell you, I might not have been able to handle it. Okay? I can tell you this, that if I would have been in that concert, you wouldn't be hearing from me still right now. Because I couldn't handle it. I know that I wouldn't have been able to handle that, dude. I don't think I'd have been walking out of that concert functioning. Because it's just on too much of a level, right? And just to like have real time been breathing air inside of that stadium. And if I, you know, like if I could go back into future, you know, what is that? Back to the Future. I would be so close up on that stage. My little elbow would be chilling up on the stage. And I would be looking at Marvin that closely. I have watched Maxwell, singer Maxwell. I have watched him several times from that vantage point. I saw him in DC one time, and I worked my way from some seated tickets that I had bought to working my way down to the stage. And I ended up, my elbow was chilling up on the edge of the stage. He was sitting on a stool, and I was just that close. So that's how I would be observing Marvin, would I have had. So please, oh, and please believe me, I would have made my way that close up to the stage, okay? I have this ability once I get into venues. I make my way up to the stage, dude. So, yeah. And if it would have been Marvin, yeah. So, but yeah, this song, for me, best live Marvin Gaye performance recorded that I've been able to hear. Hope you would agree. I think you probably would feel inclined to agree. But, you know, feel free not to. And but definitely go on ahead and give that one a good listen, a refresh. You know, did you hear it last night when you were going to bed? If you didn't, listen to it tonight, okay, or tomorrow, or whenever you're hearing this. But yeah, get into that, like freshen up on that. And I'll be putting it up on the YouTube channel. Oh, okay. So how I said I was going to end with just kind of circling back about Save the Children. So it's just to respectfully kind of re-speak what the mission of my podcast is. And it's my podcast. So it's my mission. And I get to do that, right? My podcast is not for somebody who thinks Marvin Gaye is a verb via Charlie Puth. My podcast is not for somebody who thinks, oh, isn't Marvin Gaye that guy with Robin Thicke? No. My podcast is not going to give you episodes on I Heard It Through the Grapevine. I told you the last episode, I'm not even going to be able to give you an episode on the song What's Going On. I even a little bit struggled with that, but I can't do that. It's too well known. It's too across the board. There are some Marvin Gaye songs that are too across the board for them to be a part of the mission of this podcast, which is to go into the depth of Marvin Gaye's catalog. Now, there's no disrespect to, and it's not Marvin's fault that he had some just catapulting him across all genre, you know, all charts. That's not Marvin Gaye's fault. That's what the baddest motherfucker is going to have to experience throughout his career, okay? He's going to have some major crossover, breaking all boundaries hits. That's not his fault. But that's not the mission of my podcast. The mission of my podcast, the mission of my YouTube channel is to be turning you on, schooling you, dropping education. I want you to have experiences with Marvin Gaye's songs like I had with my sister when she was 6 years old and came back from North Dakota, was silently in her little room. I think she was unpacking. You know, she was just getting herself refreshed and resettled into home. She needed a little bit of music to help her with that. But my sister is bad, evidently, right? Like, she got a very sick, you know, musical inclination. So when she needed something to just kind of help her, you know, get her little work done, she broke me down to some brand new Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's the type of experience that I'm trying to give you here on this podcast with Marvin Gaye's catalog, okay? It's not for the high level. It's not for the answers to Trivial Pursuit questions, okay? It's not those songs. It's the deep, it's the most important songs. And so I just have a very deep need to make sure that I'm driving home the point. And I almost feel it's on the behalf of Marvin for his most important song of his career. Now, there I go again. I just like, I probably am going to try and avoid saying that. But I can't avoid saying it on the song Save the Children. Like I just said, anybody writes a song with that as the title. You don't, now you have just made it impossible for yourself for that to not be the most important song of your career if you deliver it correctly. And Marvin Gaye did. Okay. So I point out 20 seconds of the end of that song. There's actually 22, 23 seconds that make up that portion of the song that I've highlighted for you and ask you very seriously to open up your cells, open up your body cells, be receptive, turn all your receptors on to receive the message that Marvin Gaye is trying to give to the planet, okay? And to just like completely explain to you that this is not me trying to drive home the point to you. It's Marvin Gaye. I draw your attention to 20 seconds at the end of that song. I just a couple seconds ago said there are 2 or 3 seconds additional that I didn't highlight for you. That my bad that I did not. Because the 20 seconds that I highlight for you is not it. Marvin Gaye says 3 more words at the end of those 20 seconds. And I had to cry a couple episodes back to explain to you that the 20 seconds, I had never realized until the night that I was recording that podcast episode that he wasn't even ever using words in those 20 seconds. I never in 26 years understood that what I was hearing, that sound from Marvin Gaye that I was hearing, was not involving words. Like, I guess I'm so carried away into those 20 seconds that I didn't even ever pick up on the fact that I was not hearing words being spoken to me or sung to me. It's sound. It's a sound level that we get to with Marvin, of his strength. And so that's all of it for me. It's those 20 seconds. But at the very end, what it is for Marvin Gaye and why I understand that I properly processed the 20 seconds is that the very last 3 words that Marvin Gaye says in that song, somebody tell me, a Marvin Gaye purist right now knows what I'm saying. They know the last 3 words that Marvin Gaye says. He says, dig it, everybody. Marvin Gaye, the last 3 words that he says in that song, he needs everybody on the planet that just heard that to understand that he was just trying to deliver the most important message of his career, okay? I've recently come across some, I think they're quotes, I don't know. Like, I get on Pinterest sometimes and I'm seeing little, it's like even a category of Marvin Gaye quotes, and it's like, I don't know. Are we sure? Like, who heard him say that? You know what I'm saying? Like, so we got to be real careful with what we attribute as his own words. Like, I would feel the most comfortable if I physically, like, audibly could be hearing Marvin, you know, watching him say something, if it's going to be attributed to what he said. But, you know, there's been some air quotes, I will say, you know, attributed to him talking about, you know, that it's an artist's job to stir the souls of men. It's an artist's job to, like, you know, turn you on, tune you in, school you to, like, really important things on this planet. You know, and so this right here, that song is it. So, like, here's kind of how I would just, like, on behalf of Marvin Gaye, try and break that down to you. Think of what that would make Marvin Gaye feel like. It was kind of the only connection he was able to make with you is through his delivery of the Star Spangled Banner. Okay? Yeah. When he delivers the Star Spangled Banner like that, that becomes proof positive. That becomes the title of my last podcast episode. It becomes proof positive that Marvin Gaye is the baddest motherfucker that there ever was. Okay? But what, think about the depth, the breadth, the length, and the width, the height, the depth of Marvin Gaye's catalog. He's actually delivered his entire catalog to us the time that he sings the national anthem like that right there. How do you think that would make Marvin Gaye feel if the only connection he's able to make, the only connection that you're going to allow him to make with you is the delivery of that song. Okay, please don't pick only that episode of my podcast to school yourself to some Marvin Gaye on. You really do need to hear the podcast episode entitled Save the Children. Have I broken this down to you guys enough? I need to see the numbers grow on that episode to feel like I have. There's some rioters and rioter dies already a part of this community. I see you. I'm going to maybe like not just shout you guys out like that, because I'm going to respect that I'm not shouting my location out. So, you know, maybe you don't need your shouted out either, but I can see you guys. And, you know, I can see in this country where you're coming from. Hey, I can see you guys around the world. You're riding. There's some countries around this world that are riding for this. Okay, I get it. I, you know, thank you. You understand it. You have listened to that episode. You just told me those last three words that Marvin Gaye sings in Save the Children. You understand that Marvin Gaye needs us to understand that that's his most important episode, song of his career. And that he needs us to dig it, right? He dig it, everybody. He's making a contribution on this planet to a cause that goes on and is in need until this day. And he did what he could do. He did it to the fullest, to the utmost. It is of the level of his responsibility to God. And I just want you to consider, how would you be making Marvin Gaye feel if the only thing that he could connect with you on, though, is like when he's just coming with the most swag that the planet can handle? Don't only keep him in a box like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be able to expand your mind a bit more than that, dude. And if you kind of can't, this podcast is not for you. Okay. If you can't take 4 minutes and 3 seconds to get a connection with Marvin Gaye on his most important song in his catalog, you think Marvin Gaye is a verb from a Charlie Puth song, and you have a knowledge of, you know, money that his estate won for a copyright violation a couple years back. If you can't come any deeper than that with me, then, you know, you won't hurt my feelings to just, we're going to need to part ways. We understand each other, okay? Because I have a mission and a message here, and I do have an audience. I see you and I respect you and I appreciate you giving me your time. I want you to feel that you're in a community that's like-minded with you like that. So, yeah, I just want you to know, like, it's not just only going to be the easy, fun, happy-go-lucky, ooh, isn't this like really totally cool to be able to say that, you know, oh, Marvin Gaye's the baddest motherfucker that there ever was. Yeah, let's make that shirt. But, you know, in order to be able to wear that shirt, you have got to have heard the 20 seconds of Save the Jill. You know, like, so on that, I'm going to wrap it up. I appreciate every single person that gets it and that is here for it. And I hope that, you know, anybody else can get on board. So I don't know what our next episode is. I actually do have an idea of what it is. It's going to be an obscure song. I'm going to need you to want to understand and learn something new about Marvin Gaye that pretty sure you might not have heard before. I appreciate you guys, and I will look forward to connecting with you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Friends, that's it for this episode. Did we have fun? I had fun. Subscribe to our show so you never miss the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye. And we're excited to announce that you can follow us on Pinterest at our page, pinterest.com/MarvinGaye_enduring_gifts. There, you can see our gorgeous picture boards for each podcast episode, among many others. These boards are full of images of Marvin, capturing key moments from each episode. We're making this a listening and viewing experience for you. So until next time, thank you for listening.